Lord Heavenly Father, come by your Spirit and give ears for us to hear and the hearts to receive the words that I've meditated on from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Well, can you imagine standing there looking into Jesus' eyes on that day? I find it quite, you can get quite emotional about, because this is the risen Jesus. This is the last command he gives his disciples in Matthew, and this is just and yet there were some that doubted, weren't there? I mean, can you imagine how? I know that we've got more of the full story, and at that particular point in time they weren't receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost as yet, but the Lord Heavenly Father, the Spirit is with them. I mean, how could it not be? I mean, this is the Lord Jesus risen from the dead. I'm going to try and unpack a little bit of what has been said here, and then I want to give us some reassurance that we're not alone in this, and also a few little tips and stories of the Isle of Wight Festival that we had, and little ideas about how it is that you can just make that first approach. I mean, it's not easy. But for me, I've been studying exploring theology is part of the Bishop's Permission to Preach course. It's encouraging us to think theologically in life and about everything we are doing. And they likened the Bible, well, it is a God story, isn't it, of redemption from creation to the end times. But they got us to think of it as a play. So you've got Act 1 is creation. Act 2 is Israel, the prophets, etc. Third act is Jesus, smack in the middle. Jesus is right there. And then it's the church, Paul's writings, etc. That is the church. And then the end times, Revelation. But they cross over and they link, don't they? They're these bits of the end times we can read in Daniel, for example. And it's happening all the time. All these threads that run through, even within the old Torah, as they called it, with the Old Testament, there are thousands and thousands of threads. And in fact, I did look it up once. There was sort of like 63,000 different cross-references. And if I could do anything out of all this is to impart the enthusiasm that I've developed in studying this for myself and working it out and seeing where he is and looking at where what is being traditioned, as they call it, as the message that is passed on. As we read in Isaiah just now, Luke refers to that. In fact, well, I'll get to that later. But this story is evolving and moving on, and it's used. They're all threaded together. It's all part of this beautiful tapestry. And when you consider how many people wrote it and there are different languages and all around the world, it's absolutely the hand of God in the whole thing, isn't it? So I'm going to start with Jesus' authority, and then I'm going to talk about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then how that helped us, okay? So Jesus' authority to me is mentioned in, is compared to Adam, in actual fact. He's the second Adam, as some refer to him, or the last Adam. And in Corinth, Paul uses him as an example for 15:21-22, since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all died, so through Christ all will be made alive. Wow. And Paul adds to that. He adds in Romans that the law was added that the trespasses might be increased. Can you imagine the trespasses increasing? But where sin is, grace is increased also, so that just as sin resides in death, so also grace resides through righteousness, bringing eternal life through Christ our Lord. Well, how much more authority do we want to be looking at when you're looking in his eyes and we read these words? And Paul is picking from Adam, and you can see the axe, can't you? And it is fascinating to see. And Moses' laws, which is part of the problem that we just needed Jesus, didn't we? We just need Jesus. But we're not in this alone. Jesus is he's commanded us to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and my Spirit I will leave with you forever. In Matthew, John says, a new command I give you, because that's the other thing, isn't it? He's commanded us to obey him, isn't he? We obey his teachings. And he says, the new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. By this, you will be known that you are my disciples. Yeah? You've got to love one another. That's what Jane's going to be doing this afternoon, isn't it? And Jesus was given this commission. This scroll, Isaiah 61 we've just read, is the scroll that Jesus was handed. He went to Nazareth after Capernaum. He came to Capernaum full of the Spirit of God and was handed the scroll. And these are the words he read, which is taken from Isaiah 61, because that was the scroll he was given. And then he rolled it up and they all disowned him, didn't they? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and recovery of sight and release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yeah, well, we're reading there. Our target audience, aren't we? The oppressed, the prisoner. Everyone needs the year of the Lord's favour upon them, don't they? And the people at the time, they thought they knew Jesus, but they didn't, did they? They didn't recognise that messianic prophecies that have been fulfilling in him. They saw him as Joseph's son. The carpenter. But we repent and turn from our ways and turn to Jesus. This is the key, isn't it? And then we have this promise of salvation, as we've sung in our hymns today, and it's absolutely glorious. And when you're confronted with baptizing or evangelizing or spreading the word of Jesus to people, it's easier for me, it seems. Well, certainly for me, it's easier for people that you've got the Scooby-Doo, they are, and you're out in the streets or you're at a festival and they're complete strangers. It's harder when it's your own family, isn't it? It's harder to try and make that connection. And sometimes we just have to use our actions, love with your bodies and your way that your life is by being a follower of Christ rather than trying to find the words. And but I really want to encourage us we're not alone. I want you to see, and next time you're fiddling with your tubby wear drawer, you're going to think of how you are in the unity of Christ. In here, this is me, okay? And this is the sort of tools of the street pastoring trade. We've got some care support cards. And also, there's a fantastic book by John Lennox. It's called Have No Fear. And it's about the very task of being making disciples. And it's fantastic. I would suggest you read it. We always carry the New Testament, of course. And the other way, I sadly lack to that, unfortunately. And we have hundreds of sweets because they are great icebreakers. That's the way to get conversation started. So that's me. And I've got some Holy Spirit here. We need plenty of this, don't we? We'll spray a bit of Holy Spirit in there. I know this is a bit childish, and this is really for youth ministry, isn't it, this kind of talk, but there I am, being sent out into the world. But I'm not alone, because I'm in Christ Jesus. As we read in John 14, 20, 21, on the day On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me. So here I am. I'm in Jesus now, okay? And those, you and me, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. I love Jesus because I want to tell everybody how great he is for me in my life. And he loves me. Can't think why. And he is loved. Hold on. Who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love and show myself to him through his Spirit, of course. And there we are in him, Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. Got a lid for him. More of that. I'll put the lid on him. There we are. We're all three together, aren't we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Me in Jesus and Jesus in his Father. So, as I say, next time you're in your tubbyware box sorting it out, you'd never find a lid, you'll remember that how he's with you right there, okay? And but we're going to be singing later, Isaiah 6, 8. God talks about what's breaking his heart and who is he going to send. But of course, it's here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. And it's a fantastic hymn. And it's one that often gets used at street pastor events when we all gather and things. It's quite often sung. So it's a little bit of a street pastor anthem. And I'll pop that away. And I know, as I said, I know it's difficult. I know it's not easy. But you've got to tread so carefully, haven't you, when you bring up Christ. You're looking for small chinks. You just ask people questions. Ask them about their hopes in life. What are their dreams? And you can tell them where your hope is, you know. And then maybe just drop a little bit of my hope is in Jesus and then just see how it lands. Sometimes you just have to forget and sometimes they elaborate further. We had a group of lads and one of them had a crucifix. He was bare-chested. They'd just done their GCSE, so you feel right on top of the world, don't you, when you've just done your exams? And this lad had a crucifix and one of my team members had spotted him and we went over to chat. Just the three of us went over and I asked him, what does that mean anything to you? You've got a crucifix? Is that special for you? But before he could answer, his other friend, we learnt all about you in RE. We've studied street pastor. We know who you are. Another lolly. And then he started talking about the creation and the world and genome projects and gravity and all sorts of things to do with science about how it is that everything's so perfect, it can't be random. How can it randomly be selected that we're here now? And the more we're discovering about these things, the harder it is to see that it's just random selection. So this evolution theory in their minds is a little bit of a lame duck. You know, they believe that there's a creator. And Tom asked me, why is it that you believe? How did you come to believe? So I said, well, it's a bit of a long story, but I can tell you. So I gave him my testimony about the whole shooting match, about how it was I came to faith. And by then, the others had gone, but left Tom. But Tom was, you only need one. His mission field is his friends. Tom then asked Josh what his story was. His wasn't quite the road to Damascus. It was born in a Christian family and gradually got to know him, but feel that his life, his relationship with God is real, that he can talk with him and he has a real relationship, which is the key, isn't it? This is what we all do. I can see you looking around. I know that this is what you all do. And then he said, well, actually, I've got to be honest. He said, I struggled with my exams. I was getting very anxious. So I prayed. I asked Jesus to come and help me. And I said, did it work? He said, yeah, I felt much better. The exams went well. It was good. I said, well, keep it up. Keep asking him in. Maybe get some, download Luke's gospel. That would be a good start. And maybe go to a church, youth group or something. You can find your way, or an alpha course or something, and explore it more for yourself. And then we left him. That was great. So we've had a great, fantastic conversation. And I thought that was on the Thursday night, the first day on, first, well, very nearly the, well, it was the second person we come across, and with significance. And thought, well, I could go home now. That's job done, isn't it? I don't need to. It's not going to get any better than that. But the second time, I was on a Saturday afternoon patrol. It was only the two of us at this team. Strange, but I don't know, the other girl pulled out. We did a tour of the main arena, and we come across a family, and the boy, his battery was flat. So I gave him my battery from my phone and charged up. We went around and a bit of a look, had more chats and conversations to come back to him. And he started to open up. It's the fact that you've reached out, isn't it? You've gone that extra mile for him and his family, or anybody else that were there. It allows them to feel that they can ask you questions, you know, or you've earned some sort of respect, perhaps, or whatever it is. And he started asking me, why is what we're doing? Are you trying to preach to everyone? Are you trying to evangelize the world? Well, officially, we're here to listen and care, but yes, we are. to be honest with you, that's what we're doing. And Fields of Gold was playing. And Sting, I don't know if any of you are Sting fans, but we got one over here, or two at least. The atmosphere was absolutely, you could have cut it with a knife. And the dad was stuck, his name was Chris, he started talking about, well, there's got to be more to life. How can we look at the bonding, the fellowship that is being created by this music, you know? And it's a lovely, lovely song if you're familiar with it. I said to him, we are created in God's image, and he does want us to seek fellowship with one another, but also with him. With him, and we believe that he died on the cross, and I told him about the day before. But the key bit here is that he died on the cross for us. If we trust and believe in him and turn to him, then we can be raised from the dead with him. I said that makes all the difference, a huge difference. And it's better for your boy to know that now than it is later. Because he was telling me about how it's nice to have he wants his house to be a safe space for children to explore faiths, you know. I said, well, it would be far better if he just knew Jesus. I said, because when he goes through life, I pinched J. John's sermon here. When he goes through life, he gets to a Y junction. He doesn't know what exam to take or what a job to apply for or which girl, whether he wants to marry or whatever Y junction you're at in life. I said, there are two people standing at the junction. One's dead and one's alive. I said, you're going to ask the one who's been risen, aren't you? You're going to ask the one who's alive. And he said, yeah, well, that'd be great. He was very enthusiastic. But Becca, the other girl, works with the family. She's a youth worker, and they both got toddlers in playgroup. So we're just hoping and praying that more grows and more conversation comes for her. And maybe, or you find it elsewhere, but you plant these seeds, don't you? You do what you can, and then it's up to God and His Spirit that moves after that. And that's what Jane's doing this afternoon, isn't it? She's up there. She's not doing it for her own praise and glory. It's hard work. It's going to be hot, but she's there for the love of God and the love of Jesus, and to spread and to share that with others. We want people to turn from their worldly lives and turn towards Jesus and get to know Him. But for me, unity, I mean, the purpose of the church for me is to bring up that hope. Bring that hope through the gospel, the good news of the gospel, good news of the risen Jesus, this thing, isn't it? And us arguing and bickering doesn't look good from the outside. If they see us squabbling, they're going to say, oh, I don't want to be part of that. So we might have debates and discussions. There's nothing wrong with that, but keep it cordial. I think it's the right word. Keep it nice. But don't be seen to be bickering. Nothing worse than two old blokes arguing about faith and religion. It really turns people away far faster than anything. So we must stop with that and just focus on being there for Jesus. Our street pastor colleagues come from all denominations. They have all sorts of different views and backgrounds about what's right and wrong. But the key thing is that they want to share Jesus. They're there to serve him and to share him. And that is what we are all called to do. Yeah? I'm going to end with a prayer. I've left a few sheets behind, but I'm going to end with a prayer. The face, the words, the image we see is made real by your Spirit. And a little of heaven on earth, to the end of time, please, Lord Jesus. And help us share this wonderful news to the world around us. Amen.